there's danger everywhere. But danger had never looked quite like this before.
Can you keep a secret?
Based on shocking true events.
This girl, Rena Virk, she's been missing for 3 days.
Emmy Award nominee Riley Keough.
Young girls were the ones we were supposed to protect.
Academy Award nominee Lily Gladstone.
Can't be.
Not be protected from.
A Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays only on Hulu.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Time is money. The founders of Akalo Wearable Vitamins believe this so much, they quit their jobs to build a product that helps prevent jet lag and hangovers. Now you can get the most out of that vacation to Vegas or the day after you have a few too many mojitos when you actually have to go back to work. For a limited time, first-time buyers have the chance to try Akalo for 50% off. Go to akalo.co and enter code CRIME50 to get yours today. That's akalo.co, code CRIME50. Don't lose another moment to jet lag or hangovers.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon. And on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Brought to you by Visa. Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Welcome to Criminalia, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Hello, and welcome to the second season of Criminalia. This season, we're exploring the lives and motivations of some of the most notorious stalkers throughout history. I'm Maria Tremarchi.
And I'm Holly Fry. And today, we are going to talk about a rather famous stalker in history, Lady Caroline Lamb, who stalked George Gordon Byron. You probably know him best as the poet Lord Byron. And Byron was born into an aristocratic and dysfunctional family in 1788. Mm-hmm. And he went on, of course, to become one of the most influential and celebrated poets of the Romantic movement, along with 5 other names that you will almost certainly recognize. William Blake, William Wordsworth, and Samuel Taylor Coleridge, who are often grouped in as the early part of that. And then with Byron, Percy Bysshe Shelley and John Keats. But the 6 combined kind of make up the famous Romantic movement.
Yes, the considered most influential. The Romantic movement was one that believed that our inner world gives us endless creative possibilities, as well as new ways of thinking and living. And today, even Byron continues to be an icon in literature. You read him in high school, you read him in college. Some might argue that he was made famous by his autobiographical poem, Child Harold's Pilgrimage. But others argue he's better known for his satirical poem, Don Juan. Most of us, though, probably know him from the iconic and beloved poem, She Walks in Beauty. I mean, everybody knows the first 2 lines of that. But it wasn't just his poetry that garnered everyone's attention. It was also his great many sexual escapades. His passionately lived life made him kind of a rock star for his day. He was notoriously handsome, notorious for having many lovers, and many of them inspired his works.
And one of these lovers was a wealthy aristocrat named Lady Caroline Lamb. Both she and Byron were part of the literary circle scene, and they first met at a society event in London in early 1812. And some reports kind of indicate that Byron was not really particularly fond of Caroline until they had spent a little bit of time together. Others suggest that she got together with him after she wrote him a fan letter regarding one of those works Maria just mentioned, Childe Harold's Pilgrimage, and that in response to that letter, he visited her, and that might have also been motivated because she had a whole lot of money and a very high status in society.
I believe he looked upon that in a very friendly way.
Listen, he was many things, but, you know, he was no fool. He knew how the ladder worked.
He did, and he knew that his aristocratic family was going down, not up. Regardless of which of those stories happens to be true, the two did have an affair, and that was from March through August of 1812. That was the year that Holly was talking about that they met. And the affair was really well publicized, and it was really passionate. They were both in their 20s. Caroline was 26 and Byron was 24. He called her Caro, which she used as her public nickname. It was for Byron whom it said she coined the phrase, and I'm quoting this, mad, bad, and dangerous to know. And it said that she coined it after she read Childe Harold's Pilgrimage. And that phrase actually became his lasting epitaph.
I think everybody associates that with Lord Byron.
I think so too. Yeah.
Right? I also love it when people reference that phrase and they don't know the Byron Caroline story at all. They're
right?
Like, no, I just thought it was a cool phrase you used to describe people that were, you know, kind of jaunty players. I'm like, no, not yes, but no.
Right. Yes, however.
There's context. Here's the thing. At the time of this affair, Caroline was married to William Lamb. William and Caroline's meeting and courtship had actually been orchestrated by William's mother, and the two were, we quote, mutually captivated by each other. So it seemed like they started out quite well. They married in 1805. That is the year that Caroline turned 19. That is also the year that William took on the title Lord Melbourne.
So the Lambs had one child. His name was George Augustus Frederick, and he was born in 1807, and they had him after they experienced a few miscarriages. Augustus, as they called him, he was born with mental health problems as well as epilepsy, and he required constant care. Most aristocratic families would have sent their relatives with any type of challenge, whether it was physical or mental, to an institution. They would not have kept them home. But William and Caroline cared for Augustus themselves until his death in 1836.
Yeah, that is also one of those many cases we stumble across in history where the exact nature of his problems is not really clearly defined.
It's not. And often you come across really outdated terminology, and it's really difficult to sort of discern, you know, do they mean that he was autistic? We don't know.
As we're talking about all of this, if the name Lord Melbourne rings a bell for you, or if you know your Queen Victoria history,
like Holly does,
that's the same guy. William was a senior statesman, and he also famously mentored Queen Victoria when she was very young, to its own scandal and gossip. And during that same time, he, of course, became the husband, unexpectedly involved in one of the most scandalous affairs of the 19th century. That summer, everyone, I think almost literally everyone,
I think so,
in their circle was talking about his wife's affair with the poet Lord Byron.
So this actually wasn't even the first scandal that he had been through with his wife. Before Caroline met Byron, she had had an affair with Sir Godfrey Webster, who was an English politician, but she confessed this affair to William. It wasn't nearly as public as her affair with Byron, and William forgave her.
So it's worth noting here that William also is not necessarily like a saint of monogamy during any of this. It is very possible that he had affairs of his own throughout their marriage. Sources disagree on it, but it's entirely possible, as we said. Sources also disagree on whether or not William was inclined to what some people at the time would have considered more deviant sexual desires and behaviors. This is all personal, private stuff,
yeah.
So there's no real way to know what his preferences were or weren't. You can even ask questions as to whether or not that's our business or relevant.
Exactly.
But what we do know is that Caroline once wrote in a letter that, and we quote, "He called me prudish, said I was straight-laced." But whether or not her husband found her prudish, her reputation in London society was anything but. And Caroline's involvement with Lord Byron was very public knowledge, as we've been saying this whole time.
Yes.
And the public found it shocking.
We're going to take a quick break right now, and when we return, we're going to talk about things that aren't prudish or straight-laced.
Hey, everybody, it's Holly. Listen, I've been doing stuff on stage since I was a kid, which means that I have been doing my makeup since I was a kid. And I can turn out a look when I need to, but on my day-to-day, I really like to keep it a little more relaxed and low-key. I don't have time for a full face most of the time. But that also means that Thrive Cosmetics can have me covered no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm doing something on stage, like I have an appearance or a live show, or I'm just running to the grocery store. Something in their line is perfect. And what I really love and what's important to me is that they are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free. And to me, cruelty-free is very important in the cosmetics I use. I mentioned that I've been doing my makeup for a long time. I've gotten older in that time. And one of the things that I've done to refresh my look is switch over to their Brilliant Eye Brighteners and use something like a rose gold shade to really like go all around my eye and then just blend it out and get a daytime smoky look. It makes me look a little more youthful and more refreshed. And it's just easy as pie, and it means that I don't have to mess with a whole ton of products. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/criminalia. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/criminalia for 10% off your first order. Time is money. The founders of Akalo Wearable Vitamins believe this so much, they quit their jobs to build a product that helps prevent jet lag and hangovers. Now you can get the most out of that vacation to Vegas or the day after you have a few too many mojitos when you actually have to go back to work. For a limited time, first-time buyers have the chance to try Akalo for 50% off. Go to akalo.co and enter code CRIME50 to get yours today. That's akalo.co, code CRIME50. Don't lose another moment to jet lag or hangovers.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon. And on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Brought to you by Visa. Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome back to Criminalia. We're going to talk about that affair, but first, we're going to go back and talk a little bit about Caroline's childhood.
Yeah, so let's take a minute to get to know who Caroline was and how she grew up. So she was born on November 13th in 1785 into, as we've said earlier, the aristocratic elite. So her life has actually been described as insular, inbred, and superficial. Sorry, those are three words I just don't want my life to be described right. as.
Everything you want right. in your biography.
Exactly. Right. But she herself, she was considered graceful and pretty, and she had reddish blonde hair and freckles across her cheeks. She was portrayed by one biographer as more like a fairy than a human being. Another biographer referred to her, and I'm going to quote on this, small, kittenish ways of showing her affection with kisses that touched the cheek and tiny intimate caresses. And he continued that theme by saying that, quote, her mouth could spit venom as well as list endearments. And that part sure seems to be true.
So it was rumored, and by rumored, what we mean is that some modern historians do acknowledge this and believe it, others do not, that Caroline had grown up as a tomboy, considered being able to wash a dog a most satisfying accomplishment, and that she was unable to read or write until she was a teenager. However, we also know that most of this is probably just hearsay.
Yeah.
Not only was she very well educated at home with an extensive curriculum and a governess to ensure that she adhered to that curriculum, she also attended elite schools in London. And so those characterizations that suggest that she was less than an ideal lady may have simply been born from idle gossip in response to what you might call her very free spirit.
Right, exactly. And sometimes things just catch on in the historical record. Yep, so you can't do anything about that. While she was still a young adult, Caroline began writing prose and poetry, and she also really enjoyed music and drama. She was interested in, and she got to be pretty good at, sketching portraits. She spoke French and Italian fluently, and her knowledge of both Greek and Latin were at the very least passable.
So not the uneducated fool that people may have wanted to paint her as at all.
No, unless she was speaking in French to her dog as she washed him. I don't know.
She might, but even so, right? Still a different language.
Exactly.
She also began writing, and she started doing this as a way to escape from her mental and emotional problems, which allegedly made her prone to temper tantrums and angry outbursts, something I don't have any knowledge of it all.
No, nothing.
never have a tantrum, ever. She was considered, and we quote, volcanic. And later she was described by Byron as an exaggerated woman. Her behavior was unsurprisingly troublesome to her aristocratic family. She also experimented with sedatives such as laudanum, and eventually her parents hired a special governess just to look after her.
So during her affair with Byron, Caroline was also considered volcanic. For instance, upon seeing him speaking, and this is just speaking, he wasn't getting handsy, to another woman, Caroline broke a glass in her hand because she was so upset. She often dressed up as a page boy so she could sneak in and gain access to Byron's rooms, which, spoiler alert, is a trick that she also tried after the affair ended.
And that affair is said to have concluded rather abruptly. Byron basically cut it off and then quickly found new paramours to occupy his time. And when Byron ended the affair, that didn't end well for Caroline, unsurprisingly. Not only was she still super into him.
There's no caps for that word super. Like, there's no big caps in the world for how super into him she
right.
was.
It's like billboard level. But the thing is, her reputation in London society was also completely trashed.
Yeah. So William took her to Ireland in an effort to put some distance between themselves and the affair and to sidestep the whole hotbed of gossip that never seemed to end. But distance really didn't change anything about Caroline's interest and obsession with Byron. In fact, the two actually continued to correspond while she was away from home.
But when Caroline returned to London in 1813, Byron made it clear that he had no intention of continuing a romantic relationship with her. He said, quote, she is a good study for a couple of years at best, when he was speaking to his longtime friend, Sir James Webster, about his relationship with Caroline, which is kind of a callous jerk thing.
Yeah, that you're like, even if he said it like to his best friend, which one is it? But two, like, now we all know it. Like, I can't. Yeah, Byron, he has his reputation. Byron adventured and womanized, and Caroline continued to send him letters while all of this was happening. He stopped responding to her correspondence, but she didn't give up. And it was 2 years after their affair ended, and she was still writing to him. And I can quote from one of her letters, which goes, "I loved you as no woman ever could love because I'm not like them, but more like a beast who sees no crime in loving and following its master. You became such to me, master of my soul more than anything else."
Yeah, very, kind of a, you know, very tepid sort of.
Right. After 2 years, I mean, my goodness.
With getting no replies.
And this is just with letters. Just with letters.
Yeah. So while we consider all of that, we are going to pause and have a quick break. And when we return, we're going to talk about all of the different ways that Caroline stalked Lord Byron. Time is money. The founders of Akalo Wearable Vitamins believe this so much, they quit their jobs to build a product that helps prevent jet lag and hangovers. Now you can get the most out of that vacation to Vegas or the day after you have a few too many mojitos when you actually have to go back to work. For a limited time, first-time buyers have the chance to try Akalo for 50% off. Go to akalo.co and enter code CRIME50 to get yours today. That's akalo.co, code CRIME50. Don't lose another moment to jet lag or hangovers.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit, April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Lowe's knows home improvement. Lowe's, official sponsor for the 2024 NFL Draft.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Welcome back to Criminalia. Letters, it turns out, weren't actually the only way that Caroline tried to get Byron's attention.
Right. We talked before about all of the various things she did. So in a creative sense, so she kind of turned that same creative energy to this. While she was writing him all of these love letters, she was also bad-mouthing him to everyone. Did you have ears? You were going to hear it. When she was caught sneaking into his house, she threatened to kill herself with a knife. She burned his effigies, gifts, and copies of his letters in a bonfire while having a group of local kids recite a poem that she had written about him. Deep ritualistic situation going on there.
Wow, right? Just got to move on from that.
Right. enterprising, but yes, that is a true story. And if you're not already thinking about the 80s movie Fatal Attraction, well, she also allegedly, and this is rather lewd.
Yes, take a pause for this one.
She sent him clippings of her pubic hair.
Yeah. And it continues. Right, that didn't end with pubic hair. Also, I never thought I'd be discussing that on the Stalker show. However, here we are. Another time, when she was unable to gain access to his home, she wrote the words, "Remember me," on a blank page in one of Byron's books. He did respond to that, but not how she had hoped. In fact, he wrote what you could consider a hate poem to her, which I have a little snippet of. This stanza went like this. "Remember thee? I doubt it not. Thy husband too shall think of thee. By neither shalt thou be forgot. Thou false to him, thou fiend to me." Hate poem.
Hate poem. Caroline had also become really good at impersonating Byron's work,
which is really creepy to me.
Yeah. This included his handwriting. So she was signing his name to work that she was writing. And on top of impersonating him as a poet, she also wrote letters in his style. One interesting little fact that was uncovered about her letters is that she sent one as Byron to Byron's publisher. So at that point, it's beyond creepy and messing with someone's livelihood. And in that letter, she actually deceived the publisher into sending her a portrait of him.
Right, because that's what she needed, a portrait of Byron at this point in her life, because her obsession just continued. So when Byron publicly badmouthed her at a ball, she smashed a wine glass and tried to cut her wrists, to which Byron reacted by describing her act as nothing more than theater and commenting, quote, "Lady Caroline performed the dagger scene," in reference to the Shakespeare play Macbeth.
Callous.
I know.
Nobody is doing it right at this point, right?
No, this is a train wreck.
Caroline plunged into a depression after this and started to drink a great deal as a way to cope with her heartbreak. She also at this time wrote a book, Glenarvan, which was a satire that was released in 1816, only a few weeks after Byron's permanent departure from England. That book was published anonymously, but the intimate details of her romance with Byron, details about her husband, and scathing commentary about other aristocrats made it absolutely easy to guess who had written that particular piece of literature.
If she needed any more gossip about herself, this book did it. Everybody knew that she wrote this book. I'm not sure she was welcome in any of her circles at this point. Byron responded to the novel, which he actually did read it. And he said, and we quote, "I read Glenarvan by Caro Lamb. Goddamn." And when he wrote his famous poem, Don Juan, it was published about 3 years after Caroline's book. He actually included some passages that alluded to her. And one line really can't be mistaken. He wrote, "Some play the devil and then write a novel."
Caroline replied to Byron's taunts with her own poem, which was titled A New Canto. But Byron never responded to it, and actually historians believe it is because he likely never even read it.
And most critics, to be honest, or many of them at the time, considered Caroline's book to be, and this is harsh, unreadable pulp fiction. It was so controversial that her in-laws tried to have it banned from further publication. They were unsuccessful. They also tried to have her diagnosed as, we quote, because this was a term at the time, certified insane. Again, unsuccessful. But embarrassed and disgraced by his wife's indiscretions, William decided that it would be best for the pair to separate. But at the end of the day, neither of them went through with that.
Really, like, to make very clear, this would be like a very high profile politician today having a spouse, very publicly having affairs, but then also very publicly obsessing over someone.
Yes.
Like, picture someone married to a politician, having had an affair with a famous actor, that actor takes off, moves on with his life, and that person continues to publicly obsess over them.
For years.
Wildly embarrassing. Particularly in Victorian England.
I believe actually through a lot of their marriage, they weren't actually living together. I might be wrong on that, but it seems like he would travel a lot and live in different places because of his various roles in politics. So, you know, there's that too, you know, we're never together. So why bother actually going through the divorce?
Right. And Caroline died 4 years later on January 25th, 1828, in London. She had, as we said, taken to drinking very heavily. Apparently, she favored sherry, if you believe reports. And it is said that her death at a mere age 42 was accelerated by alcohol and laudanum use. William, who at this point was chief secretary for Ireland, traveled to be at her bedside.
So during the time that she lived in, Caroline's behavior might not have actually been called stalking. The behavior was there, but the terminology necessarily wasn't. But what she was doing, she was absolutely engaging in stalking behavior. She was not only persistent, she was confusing reality with fantasy. And these are things we know that can happen when someone is stalking. Some have written of her that she was behaving as though she were, and this was a quote that I came across, the heroine of a melodrama. At one point, Byron remarked very similarly that she was, and I'm going to quote him here, heated by novel reading, which made her fancy herself the heroine of romance and led her into all sorts of eccentricities.
And Caroline's obsession with Lord Byron defined the last roughly 15 years of her life. But if you are aching to find a positive out of all of this turmoil,
there needs to be one. Just one.
just one. One minor one. You could make the case that her behavior and this affair also influenced both her and Byron's writing. So if you enjoy Byron's work, know that some of that came out of going through this very strange affair and having this person never really get over him. But instead of being remembered in history as a serious writer and a poet, because remember, Caroline did have her own literary talents, despite those scathing reviews of Glenarvan, and she wrote three more novels. And so the interesting twist here is that while she coined that phrase to describe Byron as mad, bad, and dangerous to know, it really is more appropriate probably for her.
I agree. I completely agree.
Are you projecting, Mrs. Lamb?
Are you feeling okay today, Caroline? So for anybody who's familiar with Downton Abbey, this is definitely an appropriate moment to remember the words of the Dowager Countess. The only poet peer I am familiar with is Lord Byron. And I presume we all know how that ended.
I'm sure we are all imagining Maggie Smith saying
that. I know, right?
Lord Byron, the poet peer, likely died of malaria in Greece in 1824. He was only 36 years old. So before she passed, certainly. And another, incidence of a life taken rather quickly. This isn't a super fun ending for this episode.
This isn't a super fun episode. Like, the fun thing about it is if you remove yourself from, knowing that there are actually real people who were involved in this, it sounds like a crazy Hollywood script. But it's not. It's real. And she really did have these problems. And Byron was not particularly kind. And like this whole life that they had, it doesn't seem like it was 15 years. It seems like it was an entire lifetime.
Right.
So, Holly, now that we've gone through Lady Lamb and Lord Byron, what would we toast them with if we were to have some sort of drink in their...
in their honor. Yes. So, as I was reading this, what I kept thinking was, I want a drink that feels very comforting after all of this. As well, we have to acknowledge we are living in a very strange time. So a comfort cocktail sounded great to me for that reason as well. And so I came up with something called I Think I'm in Love, which is, very much nice. About a person who is obsessed in this manner. They're not actually in real love. They are in obsession, but they think they're in love. But also my thing is that if you shared similar tastes to me when you sip this, you will go, oh, I think I'm in love with this drink. So it's super easy. It starts with hot chocolate.
Oh, I'm actually really surprised by that.
Dun, dun.
I know.
So do your hot chocolate however you do it. If you like instant hot chocolate, go crazy. I like to make hot chocolate, with cocoa powder and milk. That way I can control the sweetness level myself. And sometimes I also throw a little vanilla extract in there to just make it a little warmer.
I like to do that.
However you like your hot chocolate. You just want to start with a mug of hot chocolate. And then you add 1 ounce of brandy and 2 ounces of white chocolate liqueur. And it just makes a nice, warm, cuddly cup of alcohol.
I wish that Carolyn had just stayed home and made that drink.
Right. Although she had a drinking problem, so maybe not so much.
Right. Well, that was, you know, she turned to it for Byron. So maybe if she'd stayed home with her hot chocolate, she would have been better.
Right. A little boozy hot chocolate. I know white chocolate is not for everybody, and white chocolate liqueur can be a turnoff for some people. If you don't, you could use regular chocolate liqueur, like a milk chocolate liqueur or even a dark chocolate one. It'll just change the profile of it a little bit, but it would still work. And you can dial it down. For me, 2 ounces felt right. That might seem like a lot, but for something like that, that's a very heavy-ish liqueur. You know, there's a lot of milkiness going on there and stuff. It doesn't seem like the same as if you had 2 ounces of like a heavier spirit. So that's what's up. I think I'm in love. As much as you can be with a cup of hot chocolate. We would like to thank you for hanging with us and spending this time and hopefully enjoying our sometimes silly, this time a little depressing, walk through the criminals of history. And we hope that you will join us once again back here on Criminalia.
Criminalia is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, please visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.